Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's going on, Giants and Jets fans? Welcome to the latest episode of our Talk is Cheap Giants and Jets podcast. Daryl Slater here, Andy Vasquez with me as well. As usual, Wednesday, March the 20th right now, just before noon on the East Coast. And so we last came to you guys here before the combine, before the NFL scouting combine, which of course leads up to free agency. And the Jets and Giants busy to different degrees in free agency. And now here it is, March the 20th, and we are on the cusp of the NFL owners meetings this weekend coming up in Orlando and early next week. And so at those, you'll hear, of course, from the head coach, the GM, and the owner. I would presume that'll be the case for both the Jets and the Giants. And then tomorrow, March the 21st, Thursday, is 5 weeks until the 2024 NFL draft. And it's a big one for the Giants, of course, with the quarterback position, and certainly for the Jets as well, as they try to build around Aaron Rodgers. We can get into a recap in a second, but in terms of what these teams did in free agency and what it means for the draft. And that's sort of what we'll cover for both the Jets and the Giants. But welcome in, Andy, and how you doing, man?
Doing well, Daryl. It's good to be moving closer to meaningful football, which is always good, and having a much better idea of what these rosters are going to look like in 2024 than we did the last time we talked. So, yeah, it's nice to start looking at the draft and kind of knowing instead of guessing what these teams might do. And it's going to be interesting for both teams. And, yeah, and obviously for the Giants, it's been a period where moving on from some big names and adding some big names as well. The Jets, maybe not as many big name splash stuff, but big impact moves late in free agency with a couple of additions in the last few days. So yeah, it's been interesting. And I think there'll be varying degrees of expectations, but from the Jets side, I know it's going to probably feel a lot similar to what it did, or quite similar to what it did last year from here on out until the start of the season, because I think Jets fans are excited about what the team has been able to do to this point in the offseason.
For sure. For the Jets, it's we're having to win now with older players who are coming off of injuries. Aaron Rodgers, most notably, and certainly some of these guys they brought in free agency, older players who do have track records, but also have recent durability issues. And that's why, obviously, why they were available in free agency. Pressure's big time on Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas. They don't win and make, if they don't win, make the playoffs, they're both gone. I would think, based on what Woody Johnson said at the Super Bowl. As for the Giants, you know, a lot of pressure, I think, on Brian Daboll to not have a disastrous year. Now, can they miss the playoffs and have a respectable year? And will that play well with ownership, especially if they're rolling with a high-profile rookie quarterback? Maybe. I think that the drafting a quarterback would definitely give a grace period to Daboll and Shane. And that's sort of where things are broadly with the Giants. Like, obviously, the free agency period for the Giants was most notably marked by losing Xavier McKinney and Saquon Barkley. Clearly, Joe Shane does not value running back and safety that highly, based on what he did in terms of letting those guys go. He does value edge rusher quite highly. So the Giants notably parting with the 39th overall pick for Brian Burns, giving him $90 million over 3 years. That's, you know, a huge move. That was their biggest move by far in free agency, was Brian Burns. And then in addition to Barkley and McKinney departing, the Giants did bring in maybe their new right tackle, Jermaine Illuminor, New Jersey guy, grew up in New Jersey after moving to America. So John Runyon will probably be the right guard based on where he's played. And then they have to figure out, will they move Evan Neal to left guard, from right tackle. So that's something they'll have to consider. In terms of the Jets' moves, certainly some splash names for sure. Tyron Smith, their new left tackle. Mike Williams, everyone knows these guys, right? Their new receiver to go with Garrett Wilson. Morgan Moses, a known quantity, certainly to Jet fans, coming back to the Jets in a trade. And then, of course, they also bring in John Simpson as their new left guard. And Tyrod Taylor is a reliable backup, and at some point, whatever, Zach Wilson will be placed curbside on the trash heap. But that's where they are right now. Tyrod Taylor, pretty reliable backup overall if he can stay healthy, older guy. But what are your broad strokes takeaways from where the Jets currently stand, and what it might mean for them in the draft? Well, we'll get to the draft stuff, but what do you think? How would you assess how they did?
I think if you look at what Joe Douglas did, you have to give him credit because they are in a tough situation coming into this offseason. They have limited cap space. They have to basically once again rebuild the entire offensive line with three open spots, and they have everybody kind of knows that what the stakes are for them. So there's desperation, and to get stuff done, can be hard, especially if agents and anybody you want to trade with knows that they can probably, raise the price a little bit because you need to get some of this stuff done. So for them to get, Mike Williams and obviously Tyron Smith on deals that are very team friendly from, what those guys have done, and especially with Tyron Smith with so much of them, the stuff, so much of his compensation tied up in how much he plays. I think that's is a sign that he's learned from some of these signings gone wrong, like with Ryan Khalil and obviously the Dwayne Brown thing did not work out. So you've got to like that. The trade for Morgan Moses, again, you get a guy who started last year for the Ravens most of the games for a team that went to the AFC Championship game. We get a little bit of clarity on what was going on with him physically. He was kind of more, it was a rotation at right tackle late in the season. He says Morgan Moses told us today that he tore his pec in week four and played through it last year, and then had surgery about 6 weeks ago to repair it. So that is kind of what where the thing is. The other concerns with these moves is what is it going to mean when training camp starts, and are these guys going to be ready? It's not Dwayne Brown, who was 38 coming off of surgery, but a guy at 33 in Morgan Moses who struggled at times at the end of last year, having his pec repaired. It's not a, he says he's on track 100% to be ready for the start of training camp, but again, we'll see. That it a lot of times it doesn't work out that way, and then it starts to bleed into the whole problem of these guys. Are they going to be ready to, for the regular season, to have the time together? Obviously with John Simpson and the left guard they added, he's shown a lot of promise with the Ravens, started every game last year, but why are the Ravens willing to give up on him so quickly? And this is his first year kind of going into a season as the guy. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. He did well last year, but it's uncharted territory. So there's downsides, or there's reasons that Douglas was able to get this done. But especially on the offensive line, the fact of the matter is they had two starting offensive linemen a week ago. They have five now, and they have good depth as well. And they're going to add to that depth either with by adding a swing tackle. Maybe it's David Bakhtiari if he decides to continue playing, which is the reports out there is that he will. Maybe it's somebody in the draft. But that is a success, and you got to give Douglas credit for that. And then obviously adding a guy like Mike Williams, again, we'll see. About his health, he expects to be ready, but we know he has sure hands. You know he can catch a lot of touchdowns because we've seen him do it. And that can't be worse than what they had last year.
The biggest thing for the Jets, obviously, this offseason was they had to come in and, get some protection for Aaron Rodgers, right? Everyone knows the Achilles, the older player, not as mobile as he was. And so if these guys stay healthy, and that's an if for Moses and Tyron Smith especially. I mean, so last year they had Mekhi Becton-ish and I say ish because who knows what you're going to get from him, but Dwayne Brown too, durability issues both sides at tackle. Now I think their tackles are better, but there's still some durability issues there. So it's a win now team. These are win now moves. And now if everyone stays healthy, things are could be looking up. But I think it's a big if, right? And that's sort of the risk you have to run. And but they did accomplish what they needed to do up front. And it's, in terms of adding Mike Williams, an intriguing weapon to go opposite Garrett Wilson after the Alan Lazard disaster. Brees Hall is back. So, I mean, how do you feel about the playmakers around them? And then I guess we can just get into it because they're at 11th. They're at 10 rather in the draft. The guy everyone's looking at now is the tight end Brock Bowers because he's a really great prospect. Maybe he's there for them. They have a huge hole at tight end. Could that round out their offense? What do you make of their? We talked about the protection. What do you make of the playmakers around Rodgers and what it could mean for at 10 with maybe Bowers?
Yeah, I think first of all, you just have to at some point hope that they catch a break with injuries on the offensive line. Because if they, it doesn't matter if they have an offensive line injury season like they had last year, you're not going to fully recover from that. It's not going to be, it's never going to be right. So they need, they're in a position where they have the depth. They need to just keep, it's okay if a guy goes out for two or three games here and there, and that's normal. Every team deals with it. You can't be losing two guys in the first, 6 weeks of the season. The season-ending injuries and expect it to keep going. So that's the fact that they kind of have already been through that, and you just got to hope it doesn't happen again. That's a big thing, and I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic because you saw at times, even with Zach Wilson last year, what this offense can do. It was only flashes, but we know what Breece Hall can do. We know what Garrett Wilson can do. The problem is that Nathaniel Hackett's still calling the plays. So ostensibly, we'll see. I don't know how that's going to work. I think the fact of what Garrett Wilson said at the end of the season about this can't ever happen again just tells you they're going to be way quicker to adjust. The players aren't going to accept things of the past. They have the piece. They have all the pieces. Tight end, even in Tyler Conklin, he's a pretty capable weapon. So there's no reason they shouldn't be very productive offensively. And you have to hope. I'm sure the Jets are assuming that even if Hackett is calling the wrong play, you got Aaron Rodgers now to fix it at the line of scrimmage. That obviously worked very well when he won two MVPs with Hackett. We'll see if Rodgers is still that player or anywhere near that player. That's kind of what the Jets season is going to hinge on. But on paper, they did everything and everything's on the table. Yeah, I think if Bowers is at 10, it should be on the table. I think trading down, if they don't have a guy they like at 10, should be on the table. And then you can add another starting caliber receiver in a draft that's very deep, a guy who can potentially contribute right away, still later in the first round, and then maybe offensive line depth in the second round or another receiver in the depth round, then use your pick at 72 for whatever else you need in terms of contributing immediately. Or I think they should be open to trading up from 10. If there's a receiver there, we're starting to hear this, it seems insane that Marvin Harrison would be falling down the board, start to see that. If he's still around and the Jets have a chance to trade up two or three spots to get him, I think that's the best thing they can do. So a lot of options on the table. And I know I'm rambling, but there's just so much going on with his team and his offseason right now. It is interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And again, no matter what they do at this point, the hype is going to be very similar to what it was when the Jets step on the field in September for the first time.
Yeah, well, they're not going to be bringing Hard Knocks back. We know that. Yeah, I think the trade up it would be fascinating for a receiver. Could you know everyone sort of looked at it like, okay, Harrison, and then Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze is sort of the two or three, vice versa, right there. So there are some really good receivers at the top of this draft. It could, those three guys could be gone, like in the top 10 picks, perhaps, depending on what. The Giants, I mean, Mel Kiper, for what it's worth, did his latest mock draft and he had Caleb Williams and then Jaden Daniels and then Drake May, 1, 2, 3. And then he had receivers going 4, 5, 6. And I think he had, well, Harrison, Nabers, and Odunze to the Giants at 6. So really good receiver draft. Obviously, you know, teams are going to probably reach for quarterbacks. And so that's where the Giants kind of find themselves now. It's all, at this point, having done pulled off the Brian Burns move, the two big parts of the big storylines for this Giants off season will be Xavier McKinney and not in this particular order, but Xavier McKinney, Saquon Barkley departing, the trade for and massive contract given to Brian Burns, and then whatever they do in the draft, and it could be a quarterback to replace Daniel Jones. And so, just kind of running through like everything the Giants did real quick. I mean, the up front they needed to get better because they have like three. The Gould guard spots were totally uncertain. Evan Neal's been a disaster, right tackle. So they bring in Jermaine Illuminor. And he can play right tackle, and he tracks more as a right tackle than perhaps a guard. So does that mean Neal moves to left guard? And are there any guarantees he'll be not terrible there? So that's a big concern. Runyon slots as the right guard. You bring back Thomas at left tackle and John Michael Schmitz at center. And so I don't know. I mean, they didn't make any big swing moves at right guard or at guard. They did not go for Robert Hunt or Mike Unwenu or Jonah Jackson. They did not spend big money on those guys. They spent less money on Illuminor and Runyon. So we'll see how that works out. I mean, there's still lots of questions about this offensive line. I mean, Schmitz did not have a good rookie year. Let's see if Andrew Thomas can stay healthy. If he can, he's a really good player. But the big one is Evan Neal. Can he not be a, regardless of where he plays, left guard or right tackle, let's see if he can be productive. In terms of the other stuff, they obviously still have enormous issues at their skill position spots. Darren Waller might retire, so they don't have any sure thing legit answers at tight end. Receiver, my goodness. I mean, they signed Isaiah McKenzie, but like they don't really have anyone who still scares you there. Okay. In terms of running back, Saquon Barkley departs, and they bring in Devin Singletary, who's a fine enough player. But look, I understand them not spending on Barkley. We get it. And people are salty about him going to the Eagles. This was the right move for the Eagles. They're a win now team. It was the right move for the Giants to not pay that money. They're not in the same position as the Eagles. They're more than just one piece away. So I get that. I get that. We'll see how Joe Shane not valuing safety will work out, because they did. They did sign Jalen Mills, who's not particularly great. He's a safety. He played some corner, and they're bringing in Tre'Davious White for a visit. So they have a lot of questions in terms of the secondary. It was anchored last year by McKinney. They let Adoree Jackson walk. He remains unsigned. So the can Deonte Banks anchor the secondary? I mean, there are just so many questions from at skill position and now even still at secondary for this Giants team, because they just poured at pretty much everything in free agency into Burns. The 39th overall pick, which they could have used in a quarterback related trade up move. It's okay. So it's not accurate that they traded Leonard Williams for Brian Burns. It's not, because they got the 47th pick from Seattle for Leonard Williams, not 39. 39, 8 spots higher is a significant difference at that point in the draft. And so they dealt 39 to Carolina to Burns while committing $90 million over a 3-year period to Burns. They got guarantees going into the third year. And look, I think Burns has been a very good player, but that type of money, you better be elite. So let's see if he can be elite playing opposite Kayvon Thibodeaux. I mean, they did have a needed edge rusher. We get it. And then edge rushers are expensive. Totally understand that. So they could and should have a very good front with Thibodeaux, who, let's be honest, hasn't been a star, but he's shown some flashes. Thibodeaux, Burns, Dexter Lawrence. Okay. All right, that's something you can work with there. And maybe pressure quarterbacks to take some pressure off your secondary. How are they going to score points? I think that's the big thing for this team, in terms of the skill guys. They did not get better, certainly at the skill positions. Then at quarterback, no, Drew Lock is not going to be the starter. He stinks. He's worse than Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is not their long-term answer either. Okay. But the question becomes this, because they won too much down the stretch. They were 2-8. They blew it by finishing 4-3. They took themselves out of the quarterback mix. Let's say it's Williams, Daniels, 1-2. Let's say the Patriots stay there and take, just for argument's sake, Drake May. All right. Then JJ McCarthy is sitting there at 4. What then? Does Arizona trade down in a deal with Minnesota, coming up from 11? Minnesota's got 23 now. They have ammo. They can leapfrog the Giants. So the Giants are going to get either a quarterback at 6, and maybe it's McCarthy. Maybe it's Drake May if McCarthy goes ahead of Drake May. But there are no guarantees. I mean, quarterbacks could go 1, 2, 3, 4. The Giants could get boxed out, and decide they don't want to trade up. Or Arizona could say, we don't want your trade up offer. We'd rather take Minnesota's. And then the Giants take a receiver at 6. They could get a very good receiver there. All right. And so I think it's worth reaching on a quarterback, because the payoff is so huge that if you get that guy, it's totally worth it because the position's so important. But look, we know Daniel Jones isn't the long-term option. He's entering like the last year of essentially his deal, $82 million over 2 years. It looks like a terrible contract. The Giants roster is I would say they have upgraded certainly in some notable areas at edge rusher, right? They have a lot of questions. I think even still on the line, definitely at skill position spots, multiple skill position spots, and in the secondary too. And so are you going to be throwing a rookie quarterback like Drake May or JJ McCarthy into that? I mean, those would be the guys. Those would be the guys. I think 1-2 will be Williams Daniels. And then we figure out from there, do the Patriots want to take somebody, or do they listen to trade down offers? So there's a lot of moving parts. And for the Giants, it's all about quarterback now. And then they're going to do their homework as they should on all these guys. And yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on the top of that draft and how the balance strikes in terms of quarterback, receiver, and then Minnesota's lurking now, right?
Yeah, I think them trading up makes it interesting in terms of they're right behind the Jets and could be a team that, you know, is trying to jump up and get a quarterback, and that could bode well for the Jets in terms of landing one of those top receivers if, you know, they fall down the board a little further than expected. And I think once, you know, you're at this stage, and even if there's only a little bit of buzz for guys that weren't in the top 10 going in the top 10, it always seems to, these quarterbacks always seem to end up going higher than you think, especially when they don't start the process, you know, in that realm and end up kind of steadily climbing the ladder. So barring something unforeseen, I think you could see, you know, four quarterbacks in the first 10. You know, obviously there's varying opinions on the tackles. I mean, it can shake out either way. And that's, you know, I think for the Jets, if they have a guy they like at 10 and they're sure there's going to be that guy's going to be there, then then fine, it makes sense to stand pat. But under any other circumstance, you got to either go up and get the guy, or you trade down and go volume shopping, which in this draft they can do. You can't do what you did last year, which is draft the best player available. They cannot think they're good enough to do that because they still aren't. They need to make sure they're adding depth on the offensive line for the reasons we talked about. And obviously they still don't have a slot receiver. They, you know, Xavier Gibson, the Jets want to say like he's the reason that Mecole Hardman, you know, didn't play, but that's not true, because Gibson didn't start getting snaps until after Hardman was gone. They were playing Cobb ahead of him. So, and he had like 300 yards for the year. So he's not proven anything in terms of being the answer at that position. He had some nice plays and a nice kick return. They have still, you know, to figure that out, or at least get a viable backup or a guy to compete for the job with him. And once you get past, you know, Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams, a guy again who's coming off of ACL surgery, you have Allen Lazard as your next receiver and Jason Brownlee. So they need to, they can't do the thing where they draft the best player available. They have to make sure that they are filling needs, you know, and that means moving around. And Joe Douglas has shown a propensity to be able to do that well, to move around in the draft, make smart trades, and but trading, you know, up has been easier for him than trading down. So we'll see if he can kind of maneuver this better than he did last year, because, you know, you don't usually believe teams when they say they took the best player available, but with the Jets, the only explanation for Will McDonald was that. And you know, it put them in a bad position where they lost Bryce Huff, because there was that they couldn't keep him. They had already invested too much in, you know,
Yeah, we didn't even get
in an
into
edge
that. I mean,
rusher. So
Bryce Huff to the Eagles, as the Eagles have, you know, swing big as they should swing big. They need to try to win. Bryce Huff to the Eagles, and that, of course, you bring up Will McDonald. I mean, they better get more from him, right?
I mean, he has to at least make the kind of leap you saw last year from Jermaine Johnson. And really, Jermaine Johnson wasn't the 15th pick in the draft. You know, he was the last pick, one of the last picks in the first round. So who fell down the board? So, I mean, Will McDonald needs to he showed some signs. I think he can still be a really good player, but for that pick to make any sense, like he has to become an elite edge rusher. And I don't see any way that's going to happen this year. Maybe it will, but it seems like highly unlikely, because, you know, he still has to get his body to a level where he could contribute at the NFL on every down. And that was something the Jets knew when they drafted him, which makes the pick even more puzzling. So, he's got to step up, and that is, because if he doesn't step up, their defensive line won't be as good as it was last year. And that is a concern, and this defense has played at a high level for 2 years now, and overcome, you know, been pretty lucky on the injury front. So you can't keep expecting that to happen. They need to have their young players step up and step into these roles like we've seen Quinnen Williams do, like we've seen Sauce Gardner, even get better last year in some ways. Like they need Will McDonald to take a big step in the right direction and be at least what Huff was, which was a guy that defenses have to pay attention to on third down.
For sure. And I think now that, now the free agency is wrapped up, draft about 5 weeks away, the biggest question I think for either team, because the things are kind of the hay is in the barn a bit for the Jets. They do have the draft and a notable player, whoever they take a 10 or maybe higher, maybe lower. But the big one for either of these two teams is what do the Giants, I mean, it's worth rehashing and coming back to. Do they trade up for a quarterback, right? So, I think it's very obvious. Quarterbacks will go 1-2, so you say Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, right? And then what do the Patriots do at three? Is it Drake May, JJ McCarthy, or trade down? Okay, say they take Drake May, right? Then it's Arizona at four. They're not taking a quarterback. So that leaves it totally open to Marvin Harrison or trade down. Do they go to six? Do they go to 11? Minnesota can offer a haul to move up from 11. The Giants cannot offer that immediate haul. I mean, that right now, Minnesota could offer 23 to move up from 11. The Giants would be saying, look, we'll take our first round pick next year or something because they can't even offer their two twos this year in a Sam Darnold style 2018 move. As you remember, of course, the Jets, that was, I believe, St. Patrick's Day in 2018, it leading up to that draft where the Jets moved from 6 to 3 in the deal with the Colts. And of course, the Darnold thing didn't work out. But that cost the Jets two second round picks, right? 37, 49, and a second rounder in 19. It's almost an exact mirror. I mean, the Giants had 39 and 47. They could have offered those picks and a second rounder in maybe next year's draft to move up. They don't have that ammo anymore because of the Brian Burns trade. So that squeezed them a little bit. So if Arizona stays and picks a quarterback or picks a receiver there, then the Chargers are going to pick a that be Joe Alt there. Like just for argument, just for context, this is what Mel Kiper has: Caleb Williams to the Bears, he has Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, Drake May to the Patriots, then Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals, and then Malik Nabers actually to the Chargers. They need receivers big time. Roma Dunze to the Giants at six. Okay, so but in this case, McCarthy would be there and available for the Giants at six. If Arizona stays put, that bodes very well for the Giants if they do want a quarterback. But if Arizona says, no, we're moving down to 11 and up comes Minnesota, I mean, the Giants need to know what it's going to cost them to move from 6 to 4 and think, okay, are we comfortable paying that, moving up two spots for McCarthy? I don't know. Who knows if McCarthy's going to be a great player, but if you even have any kind of inkling that he could be your guy, it's worth taking a swing. I think it's definitely worth taking a swing because if this year's a disaster, there's no guarantees that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are going to get another offseason to get their guy in 2025. They're get to get their quarterback. So just for context, continuing on with what Mel Kiper said and looping in the Jets here as well. Roma Dunze six, as I said, to the Giants, the receiver from Washington. Then Joe Alt goes the offensive tackle from Notre Dame to the Tennessee at seven. I guess he could go to the Chargers, but the Chargers don't have receivers now. Dallas Turner on outside linebacker from Bama going eighth to the Falcons, who will not be trading up for a quarterback now that they have Kirk Cousins. Then Jared Verse, the edge rusher from Florida State, to the Bears at nine. And then Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, to the Jets at 10. And then McCarthy, 11, to the Vikings. Okay. I mean, he's not projecting any trade ups here. Bo Nix, the quarterback from Oregon, goes 12th to the Broncos. I don't think the Broncos trade up. The Raiders are no longer a trade up team at 13 for a quarterback because I think they're going to roll with Minshew and Aiden O'Connell at least for this year. So the team to watch is the Vikings for the Giants. So this is how Mel Kiper has it. In this case, I guess the Jets would be passing on every offensive tackle except for Joe Alt. He'd be off the board, and they take Bowers.
Yeah, and I don't see them
As we
doing
kind
that.
of wrap
Just
this
to
up, what do you what do, I mean, the next offensive tackle he has is J.C. Latham at 13. Then Fashanu, the kid from Penn State, at 14. What do you think? And then the Oregon State kid Fuaga at 18 to the Bengals. So what? I mean, what do you think of that?
yeah, I mean, I just don't see them doing that for Bowers, just because when you look at recent tight ends haven't really produced, and then Bowers has some injury history. It's the kind of pick that if it blows up in your face right away, it makes it even harder for them to kind of sell themselves to stay. So I think if I feel like Fuaga, I know he's not as high on Kuiper's board, but I just feel like he fits in with the Jets and what they would do with his versatility and athleticism in their blocking scheme. I think that would be, if they stay there, it's going to be because they like a tackle almost certainly, or because one of the receivers is available. And then I think if they don't like the tackle that's there, that they'll find a way to trade down. But again, as we learned last year, the idea of trading down is a lot easier than the execution of it. So it's you got to have a partner who's willing, and the Jets have got to be, more ready for that than they were last year because they can't make another pick like the one that they made. So yeah, I think ultimately, if they can't find a trade down at 10, I think they'll end up going the safer route and taking a tackle. I think if their receiver isn't there, because I think the way they've set this up, that they feel pretty good about where they're at in every position, and they've given themselves flexibility in the draft to where if they made a big trade up and that was it, that's the only pick in the first two rounds, they could feel good about, maybe getting some offensive line depth in the third round. So, and then, like you said, the hay is in the barn, calling it a day from there. So I think that's what these moves gave them, is good flexibility where they can find the right answer no matter what position they're in the draft. And it makes not having a second round pick, because they gave it up for Aaron Rodgers, it makes it hurt a lot less, given the what they've done in free agency and that they've been able to get it done at a good value. And that's what you got to give Joe Douglas credit for.
For sure. And in terms of, you mentioned, you brought it up, having a willing trade partner. The question then just kind of becomes a three to, or will the Patriots be that trade partner, a willing trade partner for the Giants, or maybe for Minnesota moving 11 to three, which would be a huge move. Would they be willing? Yeah, I guess it depends on how close, whether they think they want Drake May or JJ McCarthy, right? Presuming it's Williams and Daniels 1-2. So that's a move the Giants would have to make. I mean, 6-3, or it could be 6-4. 6-4 would cost them a little less. I mean, we brought up the 6-3 move in terms of the Darnold thing, but 6-4 is something to watch as well, because they could potentially box out the Vikings. But anyway, so we'll leave it there for this. We'll have another one of these leading up to the draft, and of course, this weekend we'll be heading down Saturday-ish Sunday to Orlando for the NFL's, I guess officially it's called the NFL's annual meeting. It's, you guys know it as the owners' meetings, and there'll be a lot of stuff to cover from that. So Andy and I will have plenty of coverage, of course, on nj.com/Giants, nj.com/Jets, as we take you through what Brian Daboll, Robert Saleh, Joe Shane, Joe Douglas, and John Mara and Woody Johnson have to say down there in Orlando. And yeah, so in the meantime, be sure to like, rate, review, subscribe to us on like all your favorite podcasting platforms. And of course, we appreciate everyone listening, everyone reading our coverage on NJ.com. And please be sure to keep doing that. And until next time, we'll have plenty of draft coverage, of course, wrapping up free agency. And appreciate everyone listening. And we'll talk to you all soon, leading up to what should be a fascinating draft for the Jets and the Giants. All right, everybody, take care. Enjoy the rest of your week, and enjoy the lead up to the draft. And as I said, we'll be back with you to kind of cover some of that lead up at some point in April.